If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Well, this is long overdue. We have Shit Show Katie.
Hi.
You ready?
Sure. Let's go.
Okay. What song do you want to play when you walk into a room?
So it's less of a hype song and more of just like this song encapsulates my vibe. It's called Cryptid by Rat Wife.
Oh, the old Rat Wife?
The old Rat Wife. Why I feel I have to hide when others' perceptions give me panic attacks. And I just like stumbled across this song a couple years ago and I was like, damn, this is my jam. And I just had it on repeat for like 3 months.
How'd you find it?
I listened to a lot of like strange stuff on Spotify. And so it was probably just like in one of the weird playlists that they come up with.
Okay. I'm into it. Rat. That's kind of hard to say. Rat Wife.
Mm-hmm.
Carbohydrate.
Also something that changes for me periodically. I don't have favorite things. I think I just need to put that. I don't like to box myself in.
Okay.
So right now I'm really loving mashed potatoes with lots of butter.
Lots of butter. Do you make them yourself?
Absolutely.
What kind of potatoes do you use?
The golden potatoes. I grow them in my backyard.
Oh, you grow potatoes back there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
We grow lots of things.
Cheese.
Oh, string cheese, like mozzarella.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think the less healthier ones are the ones that really do the nice stringing.
Extra stringy, yes.
Yeah, the ones that are more like cheese, it's not as great. Give me that like polio shit, you know, the ones that are like the swirl color.
Yep.
It's like just plastic. condiment.
So I used to be a condiment whore like you, but at some point, due to all of my trauma that I experienced, I had to cut out like highly acidic foods, which includes like ketchup. And barbecue sauce and stuff like that. So right now there's this Botana sauce. It's like jalapeno.
Botana.
It's not acidic, but it's delicious. Jalapeno Botana. That's all I know how to call it.
I thought maybe you were going to say like you were like trying to heal your trauma by changing your condiment patterns.
Oh, no. Like
therapy.
I cannot eat tomatoes because it will cause, I have interstitial cystitis and it's in the bladder. And when I eat acidic foods, it feels like a raging urinary tract infection. So
Ooh.
It's awful.
How did you learn that you were an adult child?
I started going to Al-Anon in 2016. I heard the term there first, but the actual meaning of adult child didn't settle in until I started listening to your podcast, actually. And I started getting one-on-one with my therapist who was familiar with complex PTSD. And I was just like, oh, I'm an adult and I'm a child. So, like, yeah, of course, I'm an adult child. And my dad's an alcoholic. So, and my fiance is an alcoholic. So, of course, like, yeah, this makes sense. No, just like all of the tendrils and the threads that go along with what being an adult child means, like, didn't really settle until a couple of years ago.
How did you find my podcast?
I searched for it. I was looking for anything that had to do with complex PTSD.
Do you remember what first episode you listened to?
I started from the very beginning. I think I binged everything.
So tell me what led you into Al-Anon.
I was in a very toxic relationship with an alcoholic. We were supposed to be married, and I was constantly just like breaking down. I was working full time, I was going to school full time. And I was planning a wedding with this guy, and my heart or my chest always felt like I had this weight on it. And I would break out into panic attacks. And it was just obviously something was not right. And I was completely dissatisfied in the relationship. And so, the fixer that I am, I was like, I'm gonna go to counseling because maybe the problem's me, right? And which partly, yeah,
Partially.
absolutely. And then forced him to go to couples therapy with me. And then I started going to Al-Anon. And then he started going to AA, but he was still drinking. So, like, he was just, it was for show and it was the manipulation. And there was one night, it was like I had my bridal shower. My best friend was in town and we went out after my bridal shower. He was blowing my phone up. Like, I was not able to have a good time with just my best friend. And we're not doing anything crazy. And like, we just kept having blow up after that. And I was just like, okay, I'm done. And called it off. And that experience propelled me into discovering how traumatizing my relationship with my mom was for me. How awful my relationship to my job was, just everything. I don't even know where to start. So ask a question and it'll help.
You know, I've got like a million places that I want to go. So, with your fiance, was the alcoholism present throughout the entire relationship, or was it something that progressed over time?
It was hyper present the entire time.
And was he a binge drinker or a daily drinker, or?
Daily.
Okay.
And excessive daily. So like he was highly functioning and then he'd just get blackout drunk when he got home.
Was it something that, like, throughout the whole time you realized was an issue and it was just in the back of your head, or it was like at a certain point you were like, oh,
It
this
was
is
at a
just a
certain
problem?
point, like, because my dad was a drinker. And so I was like, oh, this is just what we do. This is just how things are and how things go. I don't recall just a defining moment. Because I was involved too. Like at that point in my life, I was a heavy drinker. My sister had a conversation with me about like my drinking and how concerned she was about it. And then after that, I tapered off. And then it was just like a gradual taper ever since then. And now I'm sober. I've been sober for 2 years.
Well, it's pretty great that you were able to call off the wedding, because a lot of people wouldn't have.
It was a really hard decision. And I think what helped me make that decision was my best friend reminding me that I can leave at any time. Like she even said, even if you decide to go through with it, you can still get a divorce. Like you can choose to leave at any point in time. And then, what was really eye-opening for me was when he would talk about having babies with me, like my entire body was like, fuck no, like that is not happening. And like just huge cortisol dumps. And it was That should have been like the biggest red flag, but even still, I was like, okay, yeah, like just going along because that's what I thought you were supposed to do. That's what society teaches you.
Did you realize at that point in time that your dad was an alcoholic, or you just thought that he drank a lot?
I just thought he drank a lot. Like, there's younger parts in me that question, like, was he really an alcoholic? Like, he drank every day. Like,
Is it in his genetics?
yeah.
Yeah, he's an alcoholic. Okay.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Let's go back to childhood. Paint the
Sure.
picture.
I have two sisters. I'm the middle child. We grew up in the same house my entire life. So I had a pretty stable home as far as we always had a roof over our head. We always ate. My parents both worked. I was a daycare kid. I was a quiet kid. I guess you could consider me like the lost child in that dynamic, even though like I do feel like I fulfilled like other roles at periodic times, but primarily the lost quiet child. A lot of my memories right now that come back to me that I struggle with when I think about my childhood are of my mom and how angry she was all the time and like how rageful she was all the time and of her just chasing us around the house with a wooden spoon and being left alone in my room constantly. Like it was either getting screamed at or isolation. There wasn't a whole lot of emotional connection, repair. I don't recall my parents even like taking an interest in the things that I liked. I feel like I mimicked a lot of the things that my older sister did because she was the golden child. So I tried to do the things that she did because I knew that those were acceptable. And I basically feel like I didn't really have an identity as a child, and it wasn't fostered within me to have my own identity.
What was your relationship like with your sisters?
My older sister, like we were, she says that we were close when we were young, but I remember from like middle school and up, she's 5 years older than me. So she was in high school when I was in middle school, and she did not want to hang out with me at that time. I remember wanting to hang out with her and her friends, but like always being like pushed to the side. And then with my younger sister, I don't think she liked me very much. I think she saw me as like the perfect child. She's the scapegoat and the wild child, the free spirit and all of that stuff. So she definitely had her challenges with my parents and being the quiet and trying to stay out of my parents' line of sight all the time. Like, I don't know, maybe it put the attention on her. Maybe she felt like I was just Miss Goody Two Shoes. And it caused a lot of conflict, especially as like we both got older.
And what was the relationship like between your parents?
I did not see much of a relationship. Like my dad was either out late working, and then after my grandfather passed away, he was at my grandmother's house every night because she was in her 80s when my grandfather passed away. And so he would go over there, check on her, and then come home around like 8. And then by that point in time, like we're winding down and it's time to go to bed. And so it was a very disconnected relationship.
And did you have much of a relationship with your dad?
I had more of a relationship with my dad than I did with my mom. Breadcrumbs, you know.
When do you feel like the first sort of signs of your childhood showing up in adulthood?
Like in hindsight, it was always there. But I think I first started to notice it after I ended the engagement with my fiance. There was a moment where I had asked my mom to send an email to my out of town aunts and uncles to let them know, like, the wedding's off. Don't make any plans to come here if you haven't yet, and see if you can cancel them or, get them adjusted or whatever. And her response to me was, why do I have to be the one to do that? And I completely shut down. I don't remember how the conversation went after that. I just became a shell of a person. And not because of that, but it was just kind of like the straw on the camel's back, I think. And my older sister, being the parentified child that she was, she
Took it
handled
on.
everything. Yeah, she handled everything. I moved in with her. I like she helped me wean off of all of my medication that I was on, because like I was on like Vyvanse for ADHD and antidepressants, and like the amount of like panic attacks I was having constantly, like I was on such high dosages. She's kind of in the medical industry, so she's like, these can be contraindicative to each other, and like I think it's fucking with you. Like, so she helped me with the help of my doctors too, like helped me wean off. And like she as the parentified sister, like she became the mom in a sense that I needed in that point in my life. And since then, I would go to family gatherings, or like we'd go over to my parents' house. And for 3 days prior, I was in a constant state of anxiety. And then for 3 days after, it was just like the post-mortem, just like going over and over, like what had happened, what could have been done differently. And I would just be in such a state of like grief for 3 days straight, like constantly crying and not understanding what was going on. Like, I don't know why I'm so sad. I don't know why I'm so like upset, but like, I just know that whatever this feeling is inside needs to come out.
How did your parents, so did your parents, are they still married?
My dad passed away in 2022.
Okay, but they were married up until that point.
Yeah.
How did your parents respond to you calling off the wedding, other than that thing with your mom, but
My mom did not, they didn't really talk to me about it at all. And they didn't ask me how I was doing. They didn't. There was nothing. Nothing. And it's just another example of the emotional neglect that was present throughout my childhood. 'Cause like big events like this that happened throughout my life where I need that support, they weren't there. Like even to like call me and say, hey, how are you doing? Hey, like you've got to be going through such a hard time. Like I'm here if you need to talk. Like just even offering something, and it wasn't there.
So one of the biggest things for you throughout this has been going no contact with your mom. That moment where she says, like, why do I have to do this about calling your extended family? How would you have described your relationship with your mom prior to that? Did you feel like you had a problematic relationship with her or
I
no?
wouldn't say that I had a problematic relationship with her. It was more like, it just is what it is, right? Like, yeah, no, like I completely unaware before that moment, like how dysfunctional it all was.
And do you feel like it's something that like got progressively worse, or was just something that you slowly just became more conscious of?
Became more conscious of, and then each incident where I would witness her behaving in a certain way that would then trigger me, like became more and more and more like just like data and more like justification to like, okay, something's not right here for me. And like, I don't even feel like I can trust her enough to like talk to her about it. I don't feel safe enough to talk to her about it. Like, this is, yeah. I did end up writing my parents a letter before my dad passed away.
Was he sick?
Yeah, he had colon cancer. He had surgery for it and went through chemo and everything. And then he just experienced a lot of complications after that. And, you know, as an alcoholic, like he didn't stop drinking. So he just continued to decline. Yeah. But I wrote them a letter and worked on it for months and gave it to them a few months before my wedding to my husband now. And that too was like I didn't really get a response.
What did you write?
I wrote that I noticed there's distance between us and I'm feeling these things and I'd like to talk to you about them, but like I don't feel safe talking, so I'm writing. And I kind of had a section for my mom, which when I was writing, it was the small section because I still hadn't really tapped into or identified what it was that like I what my problems were surrounding our relationship with her. And with my dad, it was easy because it was the alcoholism, right? Like that's it's easy to put a problem there or identify that. And so I spoke on those things. And I think my letter really hurt my dad because when I told him that my husband and I, my fiance at the time, like were engaged, he was so excited and he was like, I'm just ready to walk you down the aisle. And then afterward, like stonewalled, he did not call me or text me or respond in any manner. At one point, my mom was like, hey, I think your dad thinks that you don't want him to walk you down the aisle. And I was like, well, that's not true. And so, like, I called him and he was in his own shame spiral about it. And he was telling other people, like my uncle, that he's choosing not to walk me down the aisle because of his colostomy bag. And other people stepped in and were like, hey, I'll walk you down the aisle. And I was like, no, like if I, you know what, I'm good. I'll just walk myself. It's just like a continuation of like, you know what, I can't need them, so I won't need them. And I will just need myself and just walk myself down the aisle.
He didn't do it.
He didn't do it. He was there. He was at the wedding, but there wasn't a whole lot of engagement. On his deathbed, literally on his deathbed, I went to visit him in the hospital. I heard he had gone back in, and I was really scared that like this was going to be like the last time. And so my gut was like, you gotta go. So I did. And I spent some time in his room. He really wasn't present or cognizant until I was leaving. And I could tell that he recognized me, and I let him know, like, hey, I love you. I'll be back. And I could see in his eyes, like, he received it. Like, he received my love. He received my, he was happy that I was there. And that, like, that was really the last time I got to see him conscious. And if I hadn't had that one moment with him, like, I probably would still be, well, I mean, I still beat myself up over that letter, but it was kind of like a redeeming moment for me almost that, like, okay, like my dad still loves me type of moment. Yeah.
So hard. So how did things go down as far as like finally deciding to go no contact with your mom? And do you feel like it was a process of like trying to set boundaries with her and having them being overstepped or?
I was already very low contact with her, and it was a decision I made based on the anxiety and postmortem like rumination that I was telling you about earlier that I consistently felt with her, and witnessing how she was behaving with my sisters too. I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And it was something that like I was aware was a thing that like it was an option, but I hadn't really toyed with the idea. And as soon as I started toying with the idea, my body was like, yes, this is what we need to do. And so I made that decision in December 2023. But actually communicated it to her in January 2024. And then shortly after that is when I found out I was pregnant. So the universe works in mysterious ways.
And so how did you tell her?
I sent her a text message. It was short and it was brief, but I let her know that I loved her and that I couldn't do this because of how much anxiety I felt when I was around her, and that I hoped she would seek out help for her own well-being. I'm not around her anymore, so I don't know if or how much she's changed because I know she's been going to therapy, but at that time, I let her know, like, please don't talk to my sisters about this. Please leave them out of it. They love both of us and want what's best for both of us. So just leave them out of it. They don't need to be your venting punching bag. And I purposely left it open-ended. Like I said earlier, I don't like to box myself in. I feel like humans are fluid. And so, like, I want to maintain that fluidity. And right now, do I feel any differently than I did 2 years ago? Not really. I have a lot of parts who are still like, fuck no. Like, we need our space. We need time to heal. I mean, I've experienced my mom for 34 years, and so that's a lot of years to unpack and dismantle and try to heal, and I need that space for sure. And that was it. She didn't respond to it. I get text messages from her every year on my birthday, but that's about it.
Just like happy birthday.
Just happy birthday, which is also angering because, like, I birthed a whole child since then. That's a huge life transition, and she doesn't think to text me then, but she texts me happy birthday. Like, it's just wild to me.
Was there any sort of fear in how it was going to be received by your sisters?
No, I talked to them about it first, and they were completely on board.
I mean, that's great.
It was very nice.
And rare, I feel like.
Yeah, they actually toyed with the idea too and gave my mom an ultimatum, like, hey, listen, we're going to go no contact too if you don't start working on these things, because it's primarily my older sister who communicated that, but she could no longer take on the role of my mother's keeper and be the person my mom always went to for things. Like, mom, you're an adult here. Like, you can, take care of this yourself.
Are the three of you pretty close?
Yep.
That's wonderful.
I mean, as close as we can be, like, I believe I have disorganized attachment style. And so, like, I will vacillate between anxious and avoidant. But I feel like these days, my avoidant part, I've identified them as like their own part. They're very present. And me and my sisters, we take a lot of space from each other, but when we need support from each other, we're there type of thing.
Have either of them been doing any work of unpacking their childhoods?
So my older sister, I know she's going to counseling. I don't think her counselor is getting as deep with her as like I get with mine, because I've shared some things that have come up about our childhood in my own sessions. And she's like, wow, like, how does your therapist know to ask those questions? I was like, I don't know. Like, we just get there. And so I don't know what her relationship is like with her counselor, but I definitely think that if your counselor has been there, then they can take their client there. But if they haven't, then they can only go so far. And my younger sister has not been in therapy, and she knows she wants to go, but she's also,
An adult child.
yes, we all are, right? Yeah.
I mean, you've become a mom. How has that shown up in healing as far as like one, it bringing things up? But then also too, it's like a total change to your schedule,
Oh my
like
gosh.
trying to heal and work and be a mom and be a wife.
I am dysregulated all the time. And I try to remind myself to come back to, like, when he's throwing a tantrum or just like having a hard time in general, And I have to remind my husband of this too. It's like, he's not doing this on purpose. He's not doing this to do anything to you. He's a good kid having a hard time. And what did I need whenever I was having a hard time, right? Like, I needed my parent to be present. I needed my parent to like hold me or guide me. And so when he throws himself out on the floor and doesn't want to be touched, I let him. And I say, okay, do you want a hug? And if he says no, okay, that's fine. But I'm right here, right? Like, I don't let him be alone through it. And that is healing for me in a way, because that's what I needed and I didn't get. And so I'm showing that my younger part, as I'm showing up for my son, I'm showing up for her at the same time in that way. Does that make sense?
Have there been any interesting triggers that have come up?
It's highlighted like my controlling tendencies for sure. And that's been interesting to work through, especially when it comes to food, because just babies and food is just messy all the time. And sometimes you don't want to like spend 30 minutes after like cleaning him up and cleaning up everything in the vicinity. And so, like, just trying to control, his actions there, but also, like, wait a second. He needs to have this experience, because in that play with food, they're also utilizing their gross motor skill. Like, they're learning as they're playing and eating at the same time. So if I'm disrupting that, then I'm disrupting his development. And like that is something I still struggle with, because like I just get tense. I'm like, oh, this mess, like I can't.
And then what about the relationship between you and your husband? Do you feel like he understands this stuff?
I've tried to share with him. He is not on the same journey. And when we have conversations and I use all of these words that I use in therapy or I use in the community, it like I just see like his eyeballs go blank and he is like, okay, not taking in what I'm putting down, and I have to reframe it. And sometimes it feels like I'm controlling his parenting, because like there are certain things that he'll do or say that like trigger me. Like he'll tell him to cool it, like when he's crying or whatever. And I have told him multiple times, like, please do not dismiss his feelings, and please do not shut down his feelings. Like, do they make sense to you? No, they don't. They don't make sense to me either. But he's gotta experience those big feelings all the way through without us shutting them down. Like, we need to teach him that these feelings are acceptable and that they have a place here and that he is safe with us with them. But both of us grew up being shut down like that. So sometimes I just have to like pick my battles and be like, okay, it's not worth him getting frustrated with me over it at this time. It's not worth that like argument. But then I do have to like just come back around and be like, hey, we gotta just be mindful here. And
How has your healing showed up in the relationship? Like, do you feel like it's changed dynamics between the two of you?
yes, a big part of our relationship from the beginning was like we dissociate a lot, and we dissociated a lot together.
What does that look like? TV?
TV, movies, video games, or sometimes like he'd be playing a video game and I would just be like
Scrolling.
doing something else. Like, it's crazy to say that we connected through disconnection, but we did. And we haven't found another way to connect, because like I've been sober for 2 years now and he is lightly sober. Like, he'll drink every now and then.
Lightly sober,
I don't know
sober
how
light.
sober light. Like, very rarely will he have a drink these days. And he owns his own business that started last year. So he's wrapped up operating his business and taking care of things at home and helping with our child. And so there is not a lot of time for us to connect. And we're just exhausted. So we don't make the time to connect. And I think that's the biggest divide that we have right now.
What has been helping you like get through this time?
I drink a lot of tea, like warm tea. the little things that I can find to help me regulate myself. My therapy appointments, I have them weekly and they help me. I know when I notice when I don't have them, like when I have to miss an appointment for a week. I am trying to find space for myself to do things that that bring me
Enjoy.
joy and also like moving my body. And it's tough because like work requires 8 hours and then I come home and do the dinner, dishes, bed, whole routine. And like on the weekends, it's let's reset the home, let's do the groceries, like let's do all the things that we didn't get to do during the week. And making that time, even if it's just like 30 minutes, sometimes just feels impossible. But there are little things that I do scattered here and there that just help me maintain the little bit of regulation that I can maintain. And my therapist has been teaching me different regulation skills that come in handy a lot.
Your therapist is IFS, right?
She's had like one training on IFS, but we do go there a lot. She's EMDR. She's also an adult child. And I'm so grateful for my therapeutic relationship with her.
What has been present in your sessions lately?
Not being in my body. And what else? It usually has to do with my mom and me needing to show up for myself in ways that like I didn't and learn up or grow up learning how to do.
Is it still sort of untangling different ways in which you realize you've been impacted by the relationship with her?
No, I feel like I understand. I'm an intellectualizer, so I cognitively and like logically understand what's happening. It's more so untangling in my body, like allowing those feelings to have their space and just let them release and not shut them down. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I continuously have to come back to is recognizing when I'm suppressing my feelings and instead not suppress my feelings. A
Is it
huge
particular emotions that you tend to suppress the most?
anger is safe to express. Anger and frustration, those are what come out, but there's always something underneath those. Even joy doesn't feel safe to express. There's this visual I always come back to when it comes to my mom is I have built this wall around my heart. I think I've shared this in group before. I've built a wall around my heart and it's there to protect me, but it's also imprisoning me and it won't allow me to experience and fully feel like love and joy and connection because the flip side of those is isolation and disappointment and loneliness, and which is are all things that I have grown up with. Like these are safe feelings. I know what these are. Like I've felt them my whole life. So like these other things, like why even try to experience those when you know you're just going to come back here to the isolation? And it's an unlearning and a relearning.
What would you say are some ways in which you can recognize that you've grown?
That's a good question. I ask myself this constantly because, like, at first, when I started on this journey, I was waiting. Like, I thought there was like a finish line. And then I realized, like, okay, well, fuck, there's no finish line. But, like, I can't even recognize the mile markers, you know? I get them all mixed up, or I work on something and then I completely forget about it. But I think if I were talking to my therapist, she would say, like, I'm doing a lot better at my self-regulation and I'm doing better at giving myself space to take a step back and not be so reactive.
I've noticed it in your ability to articulate your experience. I think that like when we start off that like we're sometimes we're like more focused on the details of a story, and then we kind of shift to where we're speaking about it from like what we're experiencing as opposed to like the story. It kind of shifts more internal. I feel like you articulate your experience very clearly.
Well, thank you. That is actually one thing that I don't feel like I do well, but I'm told I do well. Just overthinking
Yeah, it's interesting. My interview for next week will be really good, but it was just speaking about how much we're thinking about our feelings instead of just feeling our feelings.
Yep. I have a quote. Hold on. Says, I wrote this down because I was like, okay, I needed this. A person who thinks all the time has nothing to think about except thoughts. So they lose touch with reality and live in a world of illusion. Think it's a reminder to like get out of my head sometimes.
What has your experience been like being a part of the community?
It's been supportive. Like the amount of love that just pours out of these people that I only know from the internet, it's fascinating, and it does fill my cup on the days that I actually have something to share. The outpouring of like support and love is really, it's beautiful. And it helps me feel more comfortable sharing in the future too. So it's like a snowball effect.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you. All right, well, give me three things that you like about yourself.
I like how detail oriented I am. I like how loyal I am to my people. And I like how open-minded I am.
What is a hope or dream for the future?
I want to own a greenhouse one day. I want to like move out of the city, buy some land, own a greenhouse, and an apothecary, make teas.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, girly. This is great.
Let it all go. What's making you slow now? Don't let it.